If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Do you have questions that you would like to discuss with Bishop Lambert? Then make plans now to attend Ask Bishop Lambert at Bethel Deliverance International Church. Come and receive a fresh perspective on some of life's most challenging issues, from family, finances, relationships, biblical principles, you name it. It's all open for discussion during this lively Q&A session. Ask Bishop Lambert is taking place Friday, November 6th at 7:30 p.m. in Bethel's main sanctuary, located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Winco, Pennsylvania. For more information, call 215-885-2585 or visit betheldeliverance.org.
I have two passages of scripture I want to begin with. One is Matthew chapter 26. The other is Judges chapter 11. I'm going to read Matthew 26, verse 69. Now Peter sat outside of the palace, and a damsel came unto him, and she said, "You were with Jesus of Galilee." And he denied before all, saying, "I don't know what you're talking about." Go ahead, Peter. And when he went out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, "This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth." And again, he denied with an oath. He started swearing. I can't tell you what he said. It wouldn't be appropriate. But he said, "I don't know the man." And after a while came unto him they that stood by, and they said to Peter, "Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you." And then he began to curse and swear, saying, "I know not the man." And immediately, verse 73, "Surely you are one of them, for your speech bewrayeth thee." You cannot hide the fact that you are one of Jesus' disciples because your speech tells on you. Obviously, this would not be an appropriate passage to even imagine if Peter was swearing with an oath and denying. So what was it about the speech? The people from Jesus' region of Galilee had a very pronounced accent. Galileans had an accent, sort of like Jamaicans, Trinidadians, people from the Caribbean. They tend to have a little accent. Galileans had a noticeable accent. So the girl says, "You're one of them. Your speech betrays you." He said, "Fine. If you think my speech betrays me, tell me what you think about this." And verse 74 said he began to curse and to swear. I like this. I read this and thought about God's message. Does your speech betray you? I know we need topics to put on CDs and DVDs. I don't like all that topic stuff. But this one's appropriate because it asks a question of introspection. If you were called upon to represent Christ, would your speech betray you? Now, I'm not talking about the church vernacular. God bless you, praise the Lord, doing good, trying to do better, running on to see what the end's going to be. I'm not talking about the colloquialisms of Christianity. But what type of speech do you have? My other passage in Judges, chapter 11, this really isn't connective to the Matthew passage. The Matthew passage says your speech betrays you. What kind of speech do you have? It asks a philosophical question. The Judges passage gives you instruction. Matthew asks a question. What type of speech do you have? The Judges passage gives you instruction. Then we weigh the two and we extract the message. In my early morning service, I'm preaching the three essentials of eternity: heart, mind, speech. With mind, we put a subcategory of imagination. Those three plus one areas are so crucial to your spiritual development. In fact, those are the only three that the Bible spends the most time trying to get you to develop: your speech, your thought / imagination, and your heart. Those are the only three parts of you that are creative for eternity. Not your manhood or your womanhood. That's creative for this realm. But the only three parts of you that are creative for eternity is your speech, your mind / imagination, and your heart. And so today, in this service, Peter is identified by his speech. Are you? But again, we're not talking about praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God, thank you, Jesus. That can't be what the scriptures are alluding to. Now we ask a question in Judges chapter 11. And the Spirit of the Lord, verse 29, came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and passed over Mitzpah of Gilead. And from Mitzpah of Gilead, he passed over into the children of Ammon. And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into my hands, then it shall be that whatsoever comes forth of the doors of my house, comes out of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. Listen to what it says in verse 30. And Jephthah vowed a vow, which meant he said something. And here's what he said. If you give me victory over the children of the Ammonites, then whatever comes out of my doors when I come back home in peace, it's going to be yours, and I'm going to offer it up for a burnt offering. I'm going to kill it. So Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hand. And the Lord delivered the Ammonites into Jephthah's hands. Now, your Bible, if you have a King James, your Bible has a period after the word hands, after that noun, right? All right, I'm going to insert a comma, and I want you to hear this phrase that goes after the comma. So Jephthah passed unto the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands, comma, even though God knew what was coming out of the house. Jephthah says, I'm going to kill whatever comes out the house. Now, your God could have let a mule come out that house, could have directed an oxen come out that house. But he knew, look at this, it says, verse 34, and Jephthah came to Mitzpah unto his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with tambourines and dancing, and she was his only child. Beside her, he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass that when he saw her, that he rent his clothes and said, alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me. For I have, say that. For I have unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. And she said unto him, my father, If you have opened your mouth to the Lord, then do to me according to that which has proceeded out of your mouth. For as much as the Lord has taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even of the children of Ammon. And she said unto her father, let this thing be done for me. Let me alone for 2 months, that I may go up and down the mountain and bewail my virginity, me and my friend. And he said, go. And he sent her away for 2 months. And she went with her friend and bewailed her virginity upon the mountain. And it came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow which he had vowed. And she never got married and had no children. His words sacrificed his daughter's life. She said, let me go up and bewail the fact that I'm going to be a virgin till I die. And she did, for 2 days, up and down the hills, crying about the fact that she would never have sexual pleasure, that she would never give birth to children. And the scripture goes on to say that this lament about her life became a ritual in the children of Israel, all because her father opened his mouth and God heard it and allowed it. Could have sent an oxen, could have held the daughter back, but let her come out as the first thing he saw and cut off that man's line right there. He sacrificed his entire line with that vow. In Matthew, we're asked the question, does your speech betray you? In Judges, we are given a chance to observe and ask ourselves, am I asking for what I cannot support? So you can somehow make both of them the title. Does my speech betray me? Is my speech indicative of a Christian? Again, not talking about praise the Lord, glory to God, hallelujah. And secondly, am I asking for what I cannot support? Am I thinking about the vow I'm making to God, or am I making it based upon the expediency of the moment? Am I under such pressure that I promise God something that I really can't give him? Or have I clearly evaluated what I've asked? This lesson in Judges tells you that God pays attention to your vows. That's why the Bible said it's best not to make one than make one and break it. God listens to your vows. This man said, if you give me victory over the Ammonites, I will sacrifice the first thing that comes out my house.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
09415P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Exciting news! Bethel has gone prime time. Bethel's broadcast schedule now includes WTVE Channel 51 Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Our regular broadcast will continue on WPPH Channel 50s on Sunday evenings at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. Tune in to get a word from the Lord. Pray.